Eli Nasrallah, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the opportunity.
What effect did the Arab Spring in North Africa have on Arab communities here in Canada?
Well, the Arab Spring that started in late 2010-2011, as far as its effect on the Arab community in Canada, it's a work in progress. It started as a genuine Arab kind of intifada or yearning for reformation, yearning for modernity, yearning for democracy and human rights, and it was genuine in Tunisia and Libya and Yemen and Syria and even Egypt. The spirit of the Arab Spring was historic, but given the various challenges that confront the Arab world, it became ideologically driven, it became regionally and internationally politically oriented, and lost focus and lost its promise. So as far as Canada is concerned, it didn't really make a substantive difference, although it affected the community from terrorism and security angle, as far as the general atmosphere in political terms, but not specifically. And it's a work in progress.
You wrote in an article 2 years ago that Arabs in this country, in Canada, were for a long time marginalized, invisible, and politically weak and unrecognized. Have things changed?
Not to a great degree, no. It hasn't changed. I think the coming election in the fall of this year could be an opportunity to do something about it, because we were marginalized and irrelevant for a long time. I believe we still are, because of the division within the community and the political equations regarding the Middle East problem and the foreign policy of Canadian government. So that irrelevancy in political terms is still present, and nothing changed on that score.
What would you like to see changed? What would you like? What issues would you like to see raised in this coming election campaign?
First of all, the first thing that we need to do is to vote. And the voting pattern for the Arab, most ethnic, actually, is quite minimum, quite little, and there are statistics about that. We don't vote in as we're supposed to. We don't participate in political process. You know, immigrants, it's very hard to participate in politics. Everybody is busy with family and business, trying to make a living, and so becomes a luxury. So participation, voting, and writing in various electronic forms, in newspapers, letters. There is a campaign rally, participate, ask questions, and that's what moves, or writing a member of parliament, and that's what moves the system. Academic circles are still, you know, academic in their own domain within the campus of university. They don't reach outside the business community, hardly any chamber of commerce of substance that could make a difference. So, and the divisions within the community is unbelievably, you know, present, and it's very hard to overcome. Your hope is really rests with the young who are at university, on colleges, and high school. How can you get them motivated? How can you get the young to participate and don't make the mistakes that their fathers and grandfathers?
You're talking about the second generation.
Second generation, the young, yes. That's basically is the hope. But there are certain movements in certain universities. You know, don't kid yourself, they do their best. But, you know, it's yet to be materialized into political power.
What effect did the two shootings last fall have on the atmosphere here in Canada?
it poisoned the political well and, you know, made it harder for moderate and peaceful and real, genuine voices to be heard. So it just poisons the well, and it, you know, doesn't make it any easier.
You really feel a difference. You see a difference.
Not. I don't really see the difference, but you see the average Canadians, you know, look what happened with the hijab issue in Montreal or in Quebec regarding the case in the court. Lots of Canadians came to the defense of the lady who had that mishap in the court. So the genuine Canadian niceness and civility and caring, it's still there. You know, there's a well of that. There's a goodwill. But it's a two-way street. You have to, you know, give and take and participate and make yourself heard and act and be on present in the media. And so Canadians are really, when it comes to it, very reasonable and very rational.
You've written a book called None of the Above on the growing secular movement in Canada. What motivated you to write this?
Well, that's an immensely good question. What motivated me is my growing up in Lebanon in the middle of the Civil War, 1975 to 1990, when I came to Canada, 1980, sorry, from 1975 to 1980, and saw what happened during the war and what is actually happening right now in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, and Egypt, and how religion is used and abused for political ends, and how the even, you know, political and religious establishment became intertwined, and how when theocracy takes hold, what happens when there is no separation of church and mosque and state, politics and religion become one. That is a recipe for disaster. That's what motivated me to write the book.
And what do you see happening here in Canada?
In Canada, regarding the book, actually is on the what's called the unaffiliated, the nuns, and the unaffiliated, often called the nuns, which is none of the above, is a growing segment in Canadian society. About 26% of Canadians are unaffiliated, who are protesting the interference of the religious establishment in the political arena, and especially the young, 33% of the young under 30. Are unaffiliated. It's a growing trend in Canada, United States, Europe, Asia, except the Middle East. And have you looked lately about what's happening in the Middle East? It tells you the story. The nuns are mostly, the majority of them believe in God, believe in spirituality, morally driven, but they think organized religion is about power, politics, and money. They want to separate those two realms and make these wall of separation between church and state higher and wider. That's what the nuns are about. They're not anti-religion at all. Most of them, 79%, believe in religion and spirituality. It's, one of the quotes I have in the book is from Tom Sherwood, professor and the United Church minister. He says, "It is not that the nuns have no religion. Rather, no religion has them. They're looking for the right one, for the right kind of spirituality," and what the nuns in Canada and the United States are all about.
Did you move in that direction yourself, coming from a place where religion is a matter of life and death?
Yes, I did. And in the book, None of the Above, How the Unaffiliated Are Redefining Religion and Keeping Faith, there's a chapter called A Nun from the East. And that is about how I became spiritual and more driven and ethical without, getting to go with the crowd regarding participating here and there. So it's kind of thinking in you in order to acting in you. This is true. Yeah, I did thinking independently outside the box and not to be a member of a flock.
You're going to be teaching a course on this this book you've written in the fall semester.
Yes, we're going to do a series of lectures, hopefully at Carleton University in the Learning and Retirement Department, talking about the book, what is it about, kind of the what, when, where, and how the unaffiliated are growing, and that should be a great opportunity to spread the word, and it's an interesting academic exercise. Yes.
Eli Nasrallah, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you for the opportunity. Have a great day.
You too.